My name is Naomi Kay, and I'm delighted to be here with you all this morning and to worship with you. So I'm a freelance preacher within Churches of Christ Queensland, and as Steve said, I preach around different places. I'm a Toowoomba local. My husband and I, we've lived here for 21 years, so I think that should qualify us to be locals by now, yeah? Nearly, almost. Oh, not quite. So we've got two teenage children together, and our oldest actually is going to graduate high school this year. So I just want to thank Pastor Steve for inviting me here to share with you this morning. It is actually my first time worshipping here at Toowoomba North Church of Christ. However, I was here last month and I came to your Spring Blessings Day. So I thought that was a really great day. I really enjoyed myself. You got some beautiful grounds here, wonderful facilities, and everyone I met was welcoming. And, you know, I love community. I love seeing people out and about together, family, friends, just enjoying time together. And friendship is an important part of life. And the Bible teaches us about friendship and shares with us details of friendships like David and Jonathan and Paul and Barnabas. And the most special friendship of all is the one that we have with Jesus. For all who believe in him, he calls us friend. So the title of my message today is Jesus, my King, my Friend. And so what we're going to look at is the relationship that we have with Jesus, not only as a friend, but through the lens of being friends with the King. It's important in our relationship with Jesus that we can allow that close intimacy of friendship while at the same time holding him in reverence as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. So let's explore these titles of Jesus and see how this relationship of being friends with the King might actually look like for us. So Jesus has actually many names and titles, and they give us insight into who he is. And he's most often referred to as Saviour, and rightly so, he is. That's critical. But I wonder, how often do we think of Jesus as King? Perhaps if you do think of Jesus as King, you might think of that verse that comes from Revelation 19, where Jesus is described in power and glory, and he has King of Kings and Lord of Lords written on his robe and on his thigh. Or perhaps we just think of Jesus' kingship as something that is yet to come. Well, the kingship of Jesus isn't just reserved for the future events as described in Revelation. Jesus is king right now. He is seated on his throne. He has all power. He has all authority. So let's just look at his kingship briefly. So in the Old Testament, Jesus was prophesied about as the king who would come. He would come from the line of David. He was the Messiah. He was the one who would rule and save. And then Jesus was also given the title of king right from his birth. So do you remember the wise men? They pretty much only come on our radar at Christmas time. Well, the wise men were coming to find the child who had been born king of the Jews. They wanted to find him, see him, worship him, and give him gifts. And then when Jesus began his public ministry, he proclaimed that the kingdom of God is at hand. And the mark of a kingdom is the presence of the king. And then we get a letter that Paul wrote to the Colossians. And he makes this extraordinary statement telling us that Jesus has always reigned. So Colossians 1, verses 15 to 17, let's read. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So that's a pretty powerful passage. Jesus has supreme kingship over all things. He has all power, all authority. Everything's under him. So then Jesus' kingship, it's very clear. It's very powerful. So then I can't help but wonder, how can we possibly be friends with a king that is so powerful? Because I don't know about you, but I can't even imagine being friends with an earthly king. I can't imagine being friends with King Charles or even Prince William. You know, I'd feel pretty intimidated. I'd feel like I wasn't good enough to be there, and I wouldn't know what to wear either. So I wonder, how then can we be friends with the King of Kings? Well, I believe the answer is found for us in part of the passage that was read today in John 15, from verses 14 to 17. And this is what Jesus says. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not understand what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, because everything I've learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. And this is my command to you, love one another. So it's pretty clear in this passage that Jesus is the one in charge. He says, I chose you, I appointed you, and he commands us as well. So he has the authority. But within all of that, he says, you're my friend. You're my friend. And he really only puts one condition on it, and that is that we obey his command to love one another. So what kind of a king is this that invites us into a relationship of love and of friendship? Because I think it's difficult to grasp friendship with the king. Well, I've got a quote here from the late teacher and preacher Warren Wiersbe that might give us some insight into this paradox. So in referring to John 15, this is what he says. We must not interpret this word friend in a limited way, because the Greek word means a friend at court. It describes that inner circle around a king or emperor. The friends of the king would be close to him and know his secrets, but they would also be subject to him and have to obey his commands. There is thus no conflict between being a friend and being a servant. So Jesus is not just master. He has invited us into his inner circle. All we have to do is accept the invitation. If you are a Christian, then you are the best friend of Jesus. When you accepted him as your Lord and Saviour, you were born again. You were made new. You gained entrance into his kingdom. Christians are citizens of the kingdom of God. And by his grace, we are offered a place close to him. Actually, it says we are seated with him in the heavenly realms. We have the freedom to not only approach his throne, but boldly approach his throne of grace, and we also have the privilege of calling him friend. So then I think just in humility we can accept friendship with the king. So then, in accepting this friendship, having entered this inner circle of the king, let's get a glimpse of, well, just what can this friendship be? How far can we go with this? So now we'll go back to the beginning of John 15. And in the first verse, Jesus starts out by saying, I am the true vine. And he says, abide in me and I in you. I am the vine, he says. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And I just think, wow, what a wonderful and close relationship Jesus is speaking about here. Not only does he call us friends, but he says that we're so close, we're like a branch on a vine. So then when we pair together the abiding in Jesus and the friendship with Jesus, we can begin to see the level of intimacy that he actually wants with us, the kind of friendship that he wants with us. And when he tells us things like, everything that I've learned from the Father, I've made known to you. Jesus is saying, I've confided in you because you are dear to me. It speaks of trust. It speaks of love. And so Jesus really is the best friend that any of us can ever have. And we might desire earthly friendships and think, well, my ideal friendship, you know, would be someone that I can trust. And, you know, we're best friends. We can trust each other. We can care for one another. And friends are supposed to know what brings the other joy and sadness and look after each other. Someone who's got your back. Well, Jesus is that true friend. And sometimes earthly friends can let us down. But Jesus never will. He'll never break your trust. And he always knows what's best for you, even when we don't know ourselves. Jesus has led us into his inner circle and he will stick closer than a brother. So then after looking at all of this, I want to pause for just a moment and ask you a question. Do you consider Jesus to be your friend? Yes. Awesome. Because sometimes I think we read those words, but we don't always take them to heart. And sometimes we sing these hymns. We've sung some today with the word friend in it, and there's that great hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. But I wonder, have we really taken that in its fullness, that truth, and applied it in our life? You know, recently I heard this song by a band. I don't know if I've ever heard of them before. I'm not very good at following things, but the band's called Jesus Culture. And I heard these lyrics in this song. I'll share them with you. So the lyric says, I don't want to talk about you like you're not in the room. Want to look right at you. Want to sing right to you. And I heard those lyrics and they kind of just stopped me. And I just sort of thought, oh, of course, Jesus, you're right here. It's like I needed that reminder. Like I'd forgotten somehow. Because so often I think we do talk about Jesus like he's not here with us. We can even forget that he's here, that he's with us the whole time. But the truth is, we abide in him. He abides in us. We are a part of each other. And this next verse, I think the first time I read it, blew me away. John 14:23. This is what Jesus says. Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. It's like home for Jesus. Doesn't that just blow your mind? He's here with us right now. And I just think this is amazing. We have this king in heaven who rules from his throne, and yet we have a friend who is right here with us. So what I'd like to do now is share a story with you about a man who was friends with the king. I think he shows us what this friendship with the king can actually look like in real life. So I'm going to tell you about a guy called Eric Little. because I think he got the balance right of living day-to-day life as friends of the king. Now, you might know Eric from that classic movie, Chariots of Fire. Yeah, good movie, right? Amazing soundtrack. So if you haven't seen the movie, go watch it. 1984, something like that. It's a good movie. So Eric, he was actually born, he's a Scotsman, but he was born in China to his Scottish missionary parents. He spent his early years in China. He spent his schooling in Scotland. And he was a talented sportsman, so much so that he went on to represent his country at the 1924 Paris Olympic Games. So last year would have been the 100-year anniversary of that. So Eric gained national attention at the Olympic Games because he refused to run the 100-metre sprint. Now, that's the penultimate event, isn't it? Everyone wants to watch the men's 100 metres. Well, he refused to run because the heats were going to be held on a Sunday. Well, Sunday's the Lord's Day, said Eric. And so he didn't want to have anything get in the way of that. He went to church. Now, of course, there was a lot of pressure. Tremendous pressure was put on Eric to change his mind. But he didn't budge. Jesus came first, and that was that. Eric did get another chance to run in the Olympic Games, though, the 400 metres. Now, for those who are sports people, apparently that's pretty difficult to be a 100-metre sprinter and then compete in the 400 metres. But that's what Eric did. And he won Olympic gold. He did his country proud, and of course Eric felt that God had given him the win that day. So after the Olympics, Eric graduated university and he wanted to fill this lifelong desire that he had to be a missionary in China. So while he prepared and waited for his placement, Eric started to receive a lot of speaking engagements. It was known he was a Christian, and it was Eric realised that God wanted to use his fame to draw people to Jesus. You see, a lot of these people normally wouldn't go to church. So Eric was a quiet guy, though. Public speaking wasn't his thing. And the first time that he was asked to speak, he said yes. He often just said yes as his first reaction to things. And then almost immediately he regretted it. He thought, oh no, what have I done? I don't want to do this. Well, the very next morning a letter arrived from his sister. And in that letter is a Bible verse that she quoted from Isaiah 41:10, and it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Wow. Eric knew this was God speaking to him like a friend, encouraging him just when he needed it. And this is what gave him the courage to go ahead and speak. And Eric ended up sharing the gospel countless times with his Olympic fame bringing in the crowds. So finally the time came for Eric to go to China. And once there, he worked diligently as a missionary. He just was such a hard worker. He put up with harsh conditions, but he was really good at what he did. He got married. They had several daughters together. And at this point in time, it's now the Second World War. So in China, Japan comes and occupies China. So Eric decided to send his family far away to Canada for safety. He was going to stay on for another year or two and then they'd be reunited. Well, Eric ended up being put into a Japanese prison camp. But it was here that he shone. He was upbeat. He was popular. And he was known as Uncle Eric to the 300 parentless children that were there. They'd been separated. So Eric would busy himself by teaching classes and organising sports during those long and difficult days of harsh imprisonment. Now, Eric had such a wonderful faith in God that this is what one author said of him. He never questioned anything that happened, either to himself or others. He didn't need explanations from God. He simply believed in him and accepted whatever came. I think that this shows a real trust in his friend and his king, Jesus. So in his busy life, Eric would always ensure that he prioritised God. See, that's something that we need to do on purpose. It's a decision that we make. And that's what Eric did. He always began his day with prayer, with Bible reading, and with devotion. And I've got another quote here. This is Eric's friend and campmate from that Japanese prison camp. This is what he said about Eric. He was literally God-controlled in his thoughts, judgments, actions, and words to an extent I have never seen surpassed and rarely seen equaled. Every morning, Eric rose early to pray and read the Bible in silence, talking and listening to God, pondering the day ahead, and often smiling as if at a private joke. I love those times where Jesus might give you a giggle or a smile in that prayer time. I think this statement says everything about the man Eric Little. He loved Jesus. He knew him as king and friend. He had such reverence for his Lord and Saviour that he refused to run at the penultimate event at the Olympic Games, because that was his conviction. He wasn't being legalistic about it. It was his conviction. He gave that day to the Lord, just like every other Sunday. And Eric was humble enough to accept the friendship of his Lord and do uncomfortable things like public speaking that didn't really come naturally to him. But he did it because he knew he wasn't alone. He wasn't alone. So knowing Jesus the way that he did made it easy for Eric to serve others by loving them, even when it was on the other side of the world, even in prison. Now, tragically, Eric died of a brain tumour at just 43, and he never left that prison camp. But Eric has left a wonderful example for us to follow, and I think the key is he kept it simple. I think he just kept it simple. He knew Jesus. He prioritised time with him. He adored him, and he worked as though they were working side by side together. He didn't talk about him like he wasn't in the room. Rather, he knew what a friend we have in Jesus. He took it literally, and he lived his life with confidence in that friendship. So Eric shows us we can be friends with the king in day-to-day life, regardless of the highest highs, the lowest lows, or all the many ordinary days in between. So this morning, I just want to encourage you to think about your friendship with Jesus. Jesus, your king. What does that look like for you? Is he your best friend every day? So as you go out today, I want to encourage you to take your friendship with Jesus to a new level of delight, of service, of honor, and of joy.